Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast. Seems like I was only talking to Benji a few hours ago, and that's actually because that was the case. We're recording the Benelux Tour, Bingo Bongo Tour, Eneco Tour, various iterations of this race, Bing Bang Tour recap, because we missed stages 5, 6, and 7, as it was unfortunately across the Vuelta a España. We should have been this week, but back with Benji, the rat thing dolled up as always, and this show is supported by our show partner, Lacole. Start with stage 5, which was won by Caleb Ewan from Reims to Bilsen. It's actually quite a selective course. Like 33 riders finished in the front group. It wasn't as big a group as the Alto Ardoy stage that Meli won the day before. We have like little 3K, 7%, 6% climbs to Leidenberg, but Bahrain were the strongest. They had Moritz, they had Hausler. This is where Hausler, he did a lead out in the last kilometer and he pulled off and then he went straight back into the train. Then Moritz tried to do exactly the same thing to Sagan. So Bahrain, they're doing the quick step dark arts this year in the lead outs for Colbrelli and they're on form in this race. But they had Caleb Ewan in this group. He made it over the hills. And they took him to the finish. They didn't try an attack. They had Sagan on his wheel, and Caleb Ewan was able to come around Colbrelli, who jumped a little bit early, not in dominant fashion. It wasn't easy. Colbrelli was very strong on this sort of uphill drag, but Caleb Ewan won the stage in the end ahead of Colbrelli, Van Poppel, Sagan, Sturven, Mellier, Turnison, Moritz, Laporte, and Oliver Narsen. You know who the name missing there is, Benji? Mads Pedersen.
Yeah, indeed. Seems like the hillier parkours, when it comes to the sprints, didn't seem to fit him too much this year, it seems, because on the flatter sprints, he's been performing better, the ones that had a longer run-in. And I honestly don't know if he crashed in the stage or not. I don't think so, but he seems to have finished on 8 minutes 35. So that's on paper the type of group that you're in after you drop on the hills, I would expect.
Yeah, so I think Ewan was a little bit underrated for this stage. I'm still holding out hope for Caleb Ewan in World Champs, destroying Benji's Wout van Aert, who forgot to bring a lead out to what will
not
be
not fucking
sprint.
Happening. So hey, Steven can lead out. He does it for Pedersen all the time.
He did, and he dropped him off early, about 150 meters early, twice in 1 week, and let's see how that went. Some reason Sven Dornhout doesn't want to bring out some Phoenix guys. No Rickard, no De Bont, no Yanni Vermeersch.
Yeah, but you said it. Merlier came around and Merlier's not there and Ewan didn't come around him.
True. Yeah. I don't know who's going to lead him out. They should bring Hausler. Honestly, Hausler for Ewan. I'd like to see that combo because they should have signed him at Lotto.
Oh, Hausler. I love the guy. Roubaix right. Winner this year. Has to happen.
We're getting sidetracked with our love for Heinrich Hausler. He's still so good. Anyway, stage 6 was from Ottigny, Louvain, Leneuve to Hofelis, I presume. Is this in the Wallonie region, Benji? This is a more selective course than the previous two stages. We have longer climbs all put together. We have 3.8 Ks at 5.4%, 1,200 meters at 6.2%, a flatter run into the finish, then uphill drag, 205 Ks, a very difficult course. And once again, Bahrain were the strongest with Colbrelli and Moritz, but it was Asgreen with, I think, Lampard or Dries Stuyvenant, Benji, trying to spice it up, which almost backfired in the end for them.
Yes, certainly. I think that the most notable attack, though, was the one with 50K to go. I think it was on a climb called like Côte de Saint-Hoc or something like that. I could be wrong on that, but that's how I have it memorized. And we had a move by Mohoric, Hirsch, and Colbrelli, and those three riders stayed away quite a bit from that point onwards. And there was some fun in that. I feel like at 14.9 kilometers to go, just after attacking, we saw that Mohoric was actually asking for a relay in the group. And obviously, Hirsch is not going to take over because there's two Bahrain riders. And he was literally looking at Colbrelli, come on, man, take over. And Colbrelli was like, nope. I'm sitting here at the back. I'm not doing this. And Mohoric kept on pacing from that point onwards. And that soap wasn't really done for because that gap kept up and that kept up. And the gap was like 30, 40 seconds on the group behind. So with Mohoric pacing, they're going to have to pace quite a bit behind to try and get that gap closed. In the group behind, the likes of Gilbert and Atosh van der Sande, the pacing for Wellens and so forth. But with 25K to go, same bloody climb. Mohoric actually gets a bit of a gap on Colbrelli and Hirschi, like 10 meters. I'm not sure if it was an actual attack or him just getting a bit of a gap because nobody caught up to his wheel, which was perhaps a mistake on Hirschi's end or a sign that Hirschi was not at his best. And Colbrelli closed it, that, and that was a bit of a surprising move by Colbrelli in my eyes because Mohoric, last time I checked, was his teammate. And not only that, Hirschi was able to come back as well following Colbrelli, and then Colbrelli attacks and goes solo. What do you think about Colbrelli's move there?
Well, Colbrelli's like, I got a 2-second lead on GC on you, Mohoric, so you have to work with me on this stage. I mean, eventually he sort of paid it back in the next stage, but yeah, it definitely was like Colbrelli was out for number one on this stage. I think he was stronger than Mohoric probably. Anyway, so in that sense, it makes sense, but I don't see anything wrong with also taking a turn. I think if they both take turns, they would have been strong enough to still close if he or she tried anything. He or she was just hanging on for dear life. Anyway, Colbrelli goes solo. Mohoric then marks a group behind. He gets subsumed into a larger group of Sturven, Benoit, Campenaerts, Velens, he or she, and Tom Dumoulin, who was actually looking quite good at the end of this Benelux tour.
Yes.
But Colbrelli wins the stage by 42 seconds ahead of those riders in that group. Nicky Assant leading a group behind with Asgren, I think, had a mechanical from memory in one of these stages. But anyway, so Colbrelli takes a pretty commanding lead on GC of 53 seconds ahead of Campenaerts. Asgren, who would have been the big threat on 142, and Dumoulin on 147, way behind. Before stage seven, this is a really, really good stage. It's a shame it was on Sunday. This is the Namur to Herausbergen, 178Ks long stage, the classic within a one-week stage race. They do the Bosberg and then the Mur multiple times. Like, they do the Mur, I think, five times?
Three and a half, perhaps, because the first three times they go over it is the full Mur, but the Mur they finish on, they basically finish on the starting portion of it. It's called the Westen, basically the fortifications of that area in historical days. So, but hey, we're not a history channel here. We talk about cycling. So yeah, 3 1/4, basically.
And it was the reverse of what we saw the other day. We saw it getting more selective on the Mur and then Mohoric going clear with Colbrelli having to mark a group behind, of which he did. And I thought, is Colbrelli going to – is he going to scupper Mohoric's chances? Because Mohoric got a 20 – he's at a 20-25-second gap. There's a group of Asgren, Sagan all behind. There they were trying to chase initially, but then Colbrelli's marking. Guys are trying to – the group is too big. Guys are trying to attack across. And Colbrelli's marking everything, but not pulling. He's doing a great job for Mohoric, who it reminded me of his stage, maybe second stage during the Tour de France, where he was like getting really aero and where he said, I actually wasn't doing that good of power. And then you're like, you're lying. And then you look at his Strava file and you're like, oh, actually, like, you know, it's not outrageous. He's like, I was empty. The group was just dysfunctional behind. It reminded me of that. And I think his gap was largely due to Colbrelli, because when Tom Dumoulin counted before the last quarter ascent or whatever it was of the Mur with maybe 15, 10Ks to go, Colbrelli's onto him, but that gap was being eaten into very, very quickly. I think there was also Fred Wright in that group marking moves. He came back. They were finessing so much. But eventually Dumoulin brings Colbrelli close and Mohoric gets onto the Mur, wins the stage still, but then Colbrelli attacks across to make sure that he maintains his GC gap and to get the Bahrain 1-2 on the stage. So they take the stage with Mohoric, take the GC with Colbrelli, Dumoulin third, then Laporte, Wright, Van Poppel, Van Asbroek. Van Avermaet comes from nowhere, eighth, then Benoit and Sagan. Sagan tried a lot to come back, but he didn't really get any help from anybody. So, like, an unbelievable performance from Bahrain with the 1-2 and GC with how many stages they win? Two stages with Colbrelli and Mohoric. I don't know. Is this Colbrelli performance surprise you, Benji?
Based on this year, no. I think last year as well on this here, Herausbergen stage, he was also in the top five, I think. Sixth. I was wrong. Close enough. But he was definitely performing well last year as well. And we've seen so far that he's become more of a sprinty climber boy instead of a climby sprinty boy. And cobbles is also something he was good at for the last few years. So it's not really surprising that he does well here. Obviously, he's just better at it than last year. And that's how this happens. I think if you put these two riders in a separate team, they likely don't end up winning this race, either of them, because it was the combination of Modric and Caldrelli being able to play into each other so well that got them in these situations where they could basically play with the competition. And yeah, that's eventually how they win. And in both stages, they end up with a situation where it's 2-1. In the first one, it was Hirschi in stage 6. And then in the 7th one, it was Asgreen. And those riders are just, they're fucked if they're in that situation. Definitely with a rider like Caldrelli, who has a sprint, while, and Asgreen also can sprint, but on paper, not as good as Caldrelli. And Hirschi, same story. But wonderful masterclass when it comes to Bahrain, and definitely when it comes to their team as well. Fred Wright, underrated performance. Also, his time trial was pretty good this entire week. So I'm finding that a pretty cool performance. And a rider that was perhaps a bit surprising that he was so good, this Benelux Tour, because of his change of rider type this entire year, was the rider who finished third on GC, Victor Campenaerts. Like, the way he changed from being a time trialist a year ago to what he's doing now is spectacular. Like, getting third on this, being one of the most aggressive riders in this race, and being one of the better riders on the bloody Muur van Gerardsbergen, shows that this man deserves to go to the World Championships. And as we know from a few hours ago, that is indeed the case, that he is selected for the Belgian team, which is very deserving. But when it comes to Tim Wellens in this race, you see that he finishes fourth in GC, but a very passive ride, I would say, that he was on. Likely because he wasn't really able to compete with the likes of a Caldrelli and a Mohoric in these situations. And then we see that he is not selected for the World Championships, actually, for the Belgian team. Are you kind of surprised by that?
No, because, I don't know, maybe ahead of Terns. Like, Terns is in there. I'm like, oh, what has Terns done? I mean, yeah, he won a beautiful high mountain stage in the Tour de France, but then, okay, he came second on the in Deutschland Tour. I'm going to be frank, that Deutschland Tour competition was not great. I don't think a second in a stage with a little climb in there means you should go to the World Championships behind Nils, you know, behind Nils Pollard. So, yeah, I don't know. I think they haven't brought enough lead out for Wout van Aert on that team. I would have brought Edward Terns or Jonas Rickard or Dries de Bont even. Dries de Bont was very active in – if the plan is also to close down dangerous attacks, I think Dries de Bont is very good at that sort of thing in the last 50 kilometers of a race. Maybe not so long a race. Maybe I'm overrating up a sin. But yeah, I'm surprised. Are you surprised Terns in there, Ben? Is he friends with someone? Like, because, yeah, that's surprising.
I actually don't know. I feel like he probably just got selected because of that Deutschland Tour performance, I would say. Because outside of that, I don't know of any connections personally between the coach and him. But then again, I also don't follow the Belgian gossip when it comes to the team too much. So I guess that's not a lie. Here's me with my microscope on every article about the Belgian team and their families and who's connected to who and who's married to who and who lives in the same city as who. But Stuyven also doing relatively well here, also selected, which is less surprising because it's in his hometown, Leuven. But I was mostly surprised when it comes to the top 10 when I saw that Luke Durbridge was in it. And on one end, that's not a real surprise because he's done good couple races in the past, but it hasn't been recent, right?
I'm trying to think. Was he in the right side of us? He didn't even do that good at TT. He lost 40 seconds to Bissiger in the TT. Yeah. And he's usually – see, I feel like he was on the right side of a split on stage 3 or something.
It was in the break, but he took 4 seconds, so I don't
– Yeah, that's not defining. Is it? I mean, yeah, he just had a better race. Kind of surprised too by that. I thought he'd do a better TT in the opposite. I think the results are a little bit misleading in that Asgreen had a mechanical – and laid it all on the line. Sagan also was just YOLOing, going for, like, Sagan could have finished higher up, but he was just going for stages, trying to chase people back and then cost himself. What about Fred Wright for the British team for the World Championships, Benji? I'd almost take him over Jake Stewart. He was so good in this race. And then fifth on the Gerardsbergen stage, I think he's a must include.
I feel like that's the case as well, but you've got so many different riders in that team that can be selected now. We're looking at an Ethan Hayter, we're looking at a Pidcock, we're looking at Fred Wright. You think that Cavendish is going to be selected for that team, for example? I personally would not select him for that parkour, but I'm not the coach, so I guess we'll see. Geraint Thomas, is he going to be selected for the World Championships? I wouldn't surprise me. He's done a couple races in the past, so
he was here.
Yeah, and he was in an attack on stage six solo.
And I don't know Jonas Rickard, him and Jonas Rickard, who just had his contract 4-year contract extension. Like
Jesus Christ,
4 years for Jonas Rickard. I mean, yeah, sure, nice leadout man, but four years. Yeah, but
they're doing it with everybody. Like I think Vanderpool got one till 2025 as well. Few days ago, so
that's the thing. I would give it to Vanderpoel. That's fine. And Jonas Rickard for 4 years, and they made a big fuss about it. And people were like, what? Anyway, I'm probably being a bit. I think he's a really good rider. Like I love him as well. I think he's great. Like great guy for the lead up. But yeah, he was in a break with Thomas, which is kind of interesting to see.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Who's Logan Owen?
Logan Owen is an American on Education First who was married to Chloe Dygert.
Jesus Christ, you know more than I do about that guy by like a long shot. He actually ended 13th on GC here, and I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah, wow. He is still pretty young. He's 26 years old. He's out of contract with EF Education Nipper, whether that gets him extended. There's a lot of riders still without deals for next year. We forget, yes, we're into September, but the riders I just mentioned, Fred Wright doesn't have a deal for next year. Hausler doesn't have a deal for next year. So there'd be guys like Cavendish doesn't have a deal for next year, neither does Geraint Thomas. So there's still a lot of transfer mechanics still to come. I think Victor Campenaerts, just to go back to your point, Benji, what I do also like from him is if he continues like this, he's only 29, he can ensure he stays in World Tour level on teams until 35, 36, if he can perform valuably in the classics like this or classic style races. So rather than being – no one wants to sign a guy who comes fifth or seventh in a World Tour TT a couple of times a year and then does nothing else. That's not – a 34-year-old version of that is not valuable to a team. So I think this is really smart from him to extend. But otherwise, pretty good Benelux Tour. It's always a pretty exciting race, just a shame for – it's last year was crazy with MVDP and Mads Pedersen. And MVDP won GC, but important if you want to go back and look at how people are tuning up for the World Championships, it's an important race to watch, as well as Tour of Britain, obviously, this week, which we won't have coverage of. I tried to get the rights, video highlights rights on my main channel, and it's also not a World Tour designation race. And also, Benji and I need a bit of a break. So, unless Wout van Aert literally sets the course on fire,
we need a bit of a break. I think Wednesday is European Champs, mate.
That's not a real race. That's just a consolation race so that Remco can get some fancy bits of kit on his bike, isn't it? Who's won the European champs? Trentin, Nizzolo, who else?
Jesus. Christoph?
Christoph. Yeah, I mean, if Wout van Aert's not going and other...
Viviani? Am I stupid?
I don't know. Well, where is it? Where's it being held?
It's in Trentino in Italy. It's actually a pretty cool parkour. So it's for the hilly riders, and Pogacar is going. So let's hope he's got a better form than Aplouet.
I'll tell you, Colbrelli's winning that. It's not even close. Colbrelli should win that.
It wouldn't surprise me.
They didn't take it solo.
Yeah, but I also think that the parkour might be a bit too hard for Nizzolo personally, and perfect for Colbrelli. But yeah, I'm curious what's going to happen there. And I have no clue who goes for Belgium. I forgot about it. So
even a poll, apparently.
We'll see, on Wednesday. It's IT first, I think. So yeah, pretty curious about it.
All right. So apparently that's on. We'll be covering that. Benji will strong arm me into covering that. But that's all from the Benelux Tour. Let us know what performances stand out from you. Who do you think performed in such a way that you're like, he should be on their World Championships team for his nation and is actually low-key a good classics or cobbled classics rider. But until the Therese La Vuelta recap and the proper full Vuelta recap tomorrow, ciao.